Welcome to Grid Talk, a series of conversations with the leaders and innovators shaping the 21st century grid. Hosting the podcast is Marty Rosenberg, an award-winning energy journalist. The series is sponsored by the Department of Energy's Office of Electricity Advanced Grid Research Division. Now, here's Marty Rosenberg with Grid Talk.
Hi, and welcome to Grid Talk. Today we have with us Gil Quiñones, the CEO of ComEd in Chicago. Hi, Gil, how are you?
Good morning, Marty. Great to see you again.
I'm very pleased to have you to talk about something that's very important. And just to set the stage, let me point out that Chicago is one of the first major metropolises in the country to come up with a climate action plan way back in 2008. And the goal then was to reduce carbon emissions 80% by 2050 from 1990 levels. You're one of America's major cities, but it's a city that has its challenges. There's a fairly substantial poverty rate, according to one recent study, of just a shade over 20% of your city is considered in the poverty level. That's 550,000 people out of 2.7 million residents in the city. As you do this plan, one of the most ambitious plans to address climate change in your city, how do you account for that population? And then I'm going to ask you a possibly even broader question. Can your strategies help that population in very clear and substantial ways?
Marty, thank you very much for that very important question. As you know, ComEd, we supply about 9 million people in our service territory, which includes anchored by Chicago, but really all of Northern Illinois. Last year, the state passed a law called the Climate Equitable Jobs Act, or CEJA. And very clearly in that legislation, so this is more recent than the sustainability plans put forth by the city back in 2008 that you mentioned, very, very clearly was designed to make sure that disadvantaged communities, historically underserved communities, are prioritized in this energy transition. And so ComEd, that's precisely what we're planning for now and doing in terms of our investments on the grid, in terms of our energy efficiency program, demand response, solar, clean distributed energy resources. We are making sure that we have that lens that will prioritize disadvantaged communities.
Gil, let's cut right into that right away. And it's a job creations program tied to energy transition. Do you see jobs being created in targeted communities as a result?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a little bit, I came from New York, and I bring that experience here. So at ComEd, we're actually looking very closely at what is the current clean energy jobs pictures here. And then if we implement the law, so we're trying to look at various scenarios to model that law and the decarbonization pathways here in Chicago and Northern Illinois, what are the potential clean energy jobs that could be created? So we're working very closely with the city of Chicago. Yesterday, I was just at the city of Rockford. We're just north of here, where we classified Rockford, Illinois, as the second community of the future. So we're working directly with the officials, government officials, and stakeholders in Rockford. Now, we did that previously here in Chicago, in Bronzeville, just a little bit, you know, south of the center of Chicago, where we created the first in the nation microgrid. And now it's operational and really worked on that from the ground up, not a top-down approach, because we want to make sure that the communities are engaged.
How's that worked? How has the Bronzeville community embraced that?
It's working really well. We're very pleased of the very close partnership and engagement with the communities and the citizens who live there in Bronzeville. You know, that area also has very important government facilities like the police, the fire department, and other mission critical local government facilities. So it's very critical for reliability and resiliency.
Brownsville has really proven itself for several years now. Are you getting other disinvested communities queuing up and say, we want our own Brownsville?
Yeah. Well, especially now with the federal infrastructure law. So we are looking at additional opportunities. Yesterday, we announced the second Brownsville, which we're doing in Rockford, Illinois. Again, very well received. And it's not just really deploying technologies. It's how do we engage the community in the process of deploying those technologies in terms of STEM programs with the local schools, as well as opportunities for workforce development, whether it's directly for trade type, craft type jobs, or being a utility professional, engineer, and scientist.
So Gil, you just brought up the elephant on the grid, which is $80 billion of federal money from the bipartisan infrastructure law that's waiting in queue. Back in the last recession in the Obama administration, a lot of money came that helped get the smart grid built, but a lot of money, a significant share of that money went unspent. How are you hoping to see this $80 billion spent specifically in Chicago, and what kind of opportunity do you think it creates for ComEd and its customers?
Well, certainly we would like to get a significant portion of that available investments. And to me, the key is deploying technology and not just doing one-offs, some that are more scalable. So, for example, we're thinking about replicating what we did in Brownsville. I think that's a good way of doing it. It's also a focus of the city of Chicago. They have the mayor here has a program called Invest Southwest. So the neighborhoods in the west and the neighborhoods in the south part of Chicago. The state also has a very ambitious goal in electric vehicles. So not just, the cars that we drive, but also fleets of buses and school buses and other corporate fleets. So one area where ComEd can help is to really enable the electric vehicle charging infrastructure along the highways and urban hubs. So we got to get our grid ready. We need to invest on our grid to be able to do that.
On your side of the fence, just last month, you announced an investment of $113 million a year for energy use, energy efficiency programs, particularly in income-tested communities. Talk about how you see that rolling out on your side of the fence, irregardless of what happens with infrastructure funds.
Well, we have we're very proud of our energy efficiency program here at ComEd, and we look forward to really increase the investments in energy efficiency. That we ought to lead, not just in ComEd and Chicago, but I think across the nation, we really ought to lead with energy efficiency, try and shrink that amount that we use, and then decarbonize every sector of the economy. So we need to do that. And as we can see now with what's happening around the globe with the Ukraine and Russian war, that also enhances our energy security. So I think energy efficiency is something that we're always going to lead with here in ComEd.
So it's also a major business challenge. I mean, we talked at the top of the city embarking on a bold course in 2008. And since that was launched, it's resulted in reduced energy bills for your customers of about $6 billion. That's $500 million a year. How do you develop your business side to accommodate that reality and still become a thriving company while these new values and these new priorities are being embraced?
Well, we're fortunate enough, and this is prior to my arrival here, that we have a decoupled regulatory scheme where the way ComEd gets a return for its investors is not tied to the volume of electricity that we sell to our customers. So we have the incentives to proper incentives to foster energy efficiency. And the good thing about that is that, as you've said, it really helps our customers save dollars. And if you look at ComEd, one of the major utilities in a major city in the United States, we have very competitive rates and energy bills. We're great reliability record. And largely, almost 100% of our electrons here are carbon-free because of all the installed nuclear assets in our state. So we have a unique competitive advantage that we would like to preserve and continue to attract and retain citizens and businesses here in Northern Illinois.
In 2019, the Chicago City Council embraced a plan to have 100% renewable energy for buildings in the city. The city is about 60% of the way to the goal, according to one report I read. In 2019, ComEd also entered a relationship with the National Renewable Energy Lab to work on a specific issue of how do you make buildings more energy efficient, with an objective of cutting energy use 21% by 2030. Can you give us some of the detail, some granularity on how that's working and what has worked? Can you see improvements being made?
Well, it's working well. We even have a tool that benchmarks the major cities in the Chicago area and Evanston, where building owners can really get a sense on how they use energy, what portions of their end use account for the various uses in their buildings. And that information is very important because it provides a roadmap on what's possible to be done in each building. We've saved over $6 billion in our energy efficiency program, and that's a testament to the team here working with local officials to advance this energy efficiency program. And in our subsequent filings that we will make with our regulators here, you will see that we're always going to lead with energy efficiency.
So to just be basic about this, Chicago is one of the top two or three cities in America. There are a lot of buildings, commercial and industrial. Is ComEd going building by building in its territory, trying to come up with a plan? How is this working?
Yeah. So we're going to be working with the various segment of our customers. You know, we don't want to just limit it to commercial buildings and medium or small commercial industrial buildings. We also need to work with our residential customers. So there will be very specific programs in each of those segments. As we've said at the onset of this conversation, Marty, that we want to make sure that, disadvantaged communities are getting their fair share. When I started here, a couple of things that I want to do right away, which was what we did when I was in New York, was first to define what is a disadvantaged community and where are they located, which zip codes, which neighborhoods. Let's make sure we have a fundamental understanding of what is a disadvantaged community. And then the second part of it, what are the challenges and opportunities in deploying clean energy in those disadvantaged communities? So we're about to launch those studies, and we hope that they will inform what we will then file the plans that we will have in terms of not only energy efficiency, but clean energy in general, including solar and storage and electric vehicle demand response, et cetera.
In terms of your collaboration with NREL, is there any specific new technology that's being tested that you're particularly excited about?
Yeah, we've deployed, ComEd probably is one of the leaders in terms of deploying DERMS and distributed energy resource management system that's then tied to our advanced distribution management system. So these are the software and the hardware that orchestrates the integration of, you know, solar and storage to the ComEd grid. And that's very important because, you know, everything is interconnected. And sometimes those solutions can actually defer or, you know, replace investments that we would do otherwise on the grid.
So let's go a little deeper into that. You mentioned DERMS and distributed energy. You receive approximately 10,000 applications a year from residential, commercial, and industrial customers that want to connect distributed energy, like solar, to the grid. Is this a challenge? Are you overwhelmed by it? And how is it going to transform Chicago? And what are the lessons for the rest of the country?
No, I, you know, ComEd fortunately has been very efficient in interconnecting both what I would call premise-based or behind-the-meter clean distributed energy systems, as well as utility or community type renewables that connect to our grid. We have identified where they can be more easily connected. We call that hosting capacity. And ComEd has been making investment to increase those hosting capacities to make sure that they are optimally located, because everything will have to work as a system. So we look forward to doing more of that here in Illinois, especially after the passage of the state energy law last year, because that law will provide more incentives to really accelerate the transition, the energy transition here in our state.
So ComEd, of course, is doing more than passively waiting for customers to come at it with distributed generation. Just a few weeks ago, you announced plans to have 80 community solar projects launched. Talk a little bit about that, and what kind of communities are those 80 communities?
Well, they vary. Most of the utility scale or the community solar installations are, I would say, are more outside of Chicago proper, right? And more of the behind the meters are in the more of the Chicagoland area, as you can imagine, just because of availability of land and rooftops, et cetera. But nevertheless, especially with the new energy law, we anticipate a very robust, clean energy deployment here. And you're right, we're not waiting. We want to make sure that we're putting our customers at the center of this transition. We want to make sure that we are also coupling it with our workforce development and STEM programs. It is very critical that we do that as deployment occurs. For example, we have a partnership with Dawson, which is one of the community colleges here in Chicago. We have a training center there that we're looking to expand and maybe replicate in other parts of Chicago.
So how would one of these community solar projects work? You would get the land, you put solar on it, and you aggregate the power for local customers. Talk about it.
In our case, we do a couple of things. Our role is to make sure that they are interconnected and integrated properly. And we also help support in the incentives that are given to private developers.
So you don't necessarily own the solar?
We don't own the installation. It's really, we're helping to foster, you know, a competitive private sector market.
And who invites the solar developers in? Is it you or the community or a combination?
It's a combination. They know that we have programs to incent those projects here. And so they go to customers directly. They interact with us on the front end in terms of interconnection, and then on the back end in terms of how the bills, especially for community solar, how the billing process is going to work for those customers.
So would the mayor of Skokie or Waukegan come up with a plan with the city council and then come to you?
Well, some local governments, they do that, where they actually become the customer and they interface with private solar providers. In certain cases, just a single customer. But our role is to provide technical assistance and make sure they're interconnected properly and timely. And then on the back end, the billing and the crediting of the solar generation vis-a-vis what they continue to buy from the grid are all seamless and not a barrier to those type of customers.
So the kind of transformation of energy and your business that we're talking about is really complicated and difficult to peer into, but there's some interesting little highlights that I hit on. Maybe you could talk a bit about it to show the diversity and the scale of the efforts, including restoring natural prairies to sequester carbon and the city planting 15,000 trees every year. Talk about why that's important and what role ComEd's going to play in those kinds of initiatives.
Well, it's important because to really address the climate crisis, you have to decarbonize every sector of the economy, not just the power generation or the power sector, right? You got to attack transportation. You have to attack industry. You have to attack agriculture. So you have to address all of that to meet our 2050 decarbonization goals. And so from our perspective, we try and add value where we can in those different sectors where that we need to decarbonize, including natural habitats, in our service territory. We own a lot of land, right? We got transmission right of ways and so the maintenance of those are critical to the effort as well, as small as they are within the entire context. But you got to do all of that to be able to attack the climate crisis.
Gil, when you were president and CEO of the New York Power Authority, that was the largest state power authority, 1,400 miles of transmission. Now, if I read it correctly, there's 90,000 miles of power lines at ComEd. What role do you see that vast network of transmission and distribution playing in cutting emissions?
Well, the grid, which is transmission and distribution, really, to me, I view it as the platform that will enable decarbonization. As you know, we were talking about before, Marty, about how do we integrate renewables to the grid and how will that work with everything else that's already on the grid? How do we work with homes and businesses if they want to install solar, if they want to have an electric vehicle? How will that all work? You know, we're really here at ComEd, we're trying to reimagine the grid. One of our key initiatives here is to layer a fiber optic infrastructure to our transmission and distribution grid. And we're the first utility really doing that across our grid because we believe that we will need a new set of network and operating system and applications to run not today's grid, but the grid of the future. And so it's going to be critical as an enabler to be able to deploy technologies and decarbonize every sector of our economy.
Do you have any major hurdles, regulatory hurdles, to clear to rebuild that grid the way it needs to be rebuilt?
I wouldn't say hurdles. The Illinois Commerce Commission, our regulator here, they've been great partners with us. There are going to be significant investments needed on the grid. How we prioritize and sequence those so that we are not causing rate shocks or bill impacts that are substantial, that's going to be the balancing that we need to do.
So focus on that a little bit, minimizing rate impacts and making decarbonization equitable. Do you have any new strategies or thinking on how that could be best achieved? Is there any experiments going on in Illinois and Chicago that the rest of the country should be aware of?
Yes. Well, the way we're viewing it, Marty, is that we want to make sure that, you know, what we invest has customer value today, right? And so those are the, you need to kind of screen all the available options and make sure that you're putting the customer at the center of those investments and that those investments create value for them, whether it's in resiliency and reliability, environmental sustainability, and to keep the bill affordable. It's challenging when there's general inflation in our overall economy. Right? So that's going to be a factor that we need to figure out on how to feather the investments in over time that we know will provide value to our customers. So those are the things that we're trying to figure out. Investments that can spur economic development or creating, and that can help create jobs in a certain region. We want to do those things.
Why is it important to build equity into these efforts?
It is important because if you look at the zip codes of disadvantaged communities, they have the highest poverty rates, as you mentioned earlier. They have the highest asthma rates, usually. They have the highest COVID infection rates, if you look at the past two and a half years. And, you know, we're one service territory, we're one community, and we really need to triage and attack those communities because, by the way, also, aside from those three things, poverty, asthma, COVID rates, they're also the most vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. And therefore, you really got to triage and prioritize them to make sure that you can mitigate the impacts of both health and the environment.
One side aspect of that, before we return to that line of thought, which is in 2019, the city council decided to move towards an all-electric bus fleet. What impact does that have on ComEd? Anything in terms of load or load management?
Well, we have to, you know, once you electrify a fleet, whether it's a transit authority fleet or a school bus fleet, we need to upgrade the grid because those are going to be concentrated loads. But there are also opportunities. And while it's not a mature opportunity, buses usually operate in the afternoon and the early morning when they bring kids to school and back home. But usually residential neighborhoods, they peak late in the afternoon or in the evening. So they can also be used as an energy storage or a balancing resource. And so those are the kind of things that we need to look at, you know, going forward.
We live in a strange media universe now where it used to be the daily newspaper set the agenda for the community. Now, newspapers are not quite as important and social media is rampant. How do you communicate to disadvantaged residents what you're up to and get their buy-in and their excitement?
Yeah, Marty, I share your the sadness of newspapers, especially local newspapers, right, that are really not thriving as they were in the past. But one thing that we're starting to see, aside from social media, there's a lot more local nonprofit newspapers that are popping up based in the communities. So while we use social media, we know everybody's got a phone today, and they're in social media. We're also starting to work with not-for-profit, community-based publications and newspapers because we think they actually have the closest connection to the people in the various communities we serve. And so maybe that's going to be, Marty, the new model for newspapers going forward. I certainly hope so because they are great. There are a lot of great reporters who used to work on those big newspapers, and now they're doing their own publications, whether it's electronic or even sometimes, a small print.
So I need to connect you with my alma mater, Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism, to see if you can get those locally based newspapers the information you need to let your customers know, particularly the disadvantaged customers, what you're trying to achieve and what's in it for them. And to sum up now, Gil, what would you say to those customers about how your efforts to transform the whole energy ecosystem, along with the many diverse players in your community, partners like NREL and others that are playing alongside with you, what it means to them in terms of helping them with the crime rate, helping with the poverty rate, helping with the asthma, and all those other issues that you alluded to that are a complex of problems in that community. What do you see as most promising as we march forward?
Well, Marty, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the west side of Chicago and met with the pastors, the faith-based leaders in the west side of Chicago. And I was amazed with the kind of solutions and the kind of ideas that they have on how to address, you know, energy issues in their communities, how to engage the kids in STEM program and workforce development. Sometimes, you know, utilities, we think we can create all these programs and, you know, here they are, you know, disadvantaged communities, you should take advantage of them. And what I'm finding and really learning is that they have great ideas and they have great solutions. So we really need to work with them from where they are and then try and fit where we can add value.
Can you think of one where you turn to your team traveling with you as you go to this event, where you say, get that guy's number, let's follow up on that idea?
Well, that meeting with Pastor Johnny Miller, he has a community center where he centralized all the services there. So it's a community center. The office of the alderman is there. There are a couple of construction companies that took office there so that then they can hire individuals. There are social services from the state and the city located there. So it's a centralized center in his community where the youth can come and families can come to get the services. And so when we came in, he was thinking about, okay, how do we integrate energy, community solar specifically? And so now we have an initiative with him. We're trying to explore how do we do that and be able to deploy community solar. We call it Solar for All or Give a Rate. These are specific solar programs that ComEd has to address disadvantaged communities. Again, I'm just amazed by what frontline communities, especially their leaders, what the amount of thinking and creativity in terms of deploying technologies and being able to partner in terms of STEM or workforce development. You know, they're there. We just need to meet them where they are.
Thank you, Gil.
Thank you, Marty. Always good to see you. I know you and I have been talking for a while now and at NYPA, and great to hear your voice and great to see you. Thank you for having me.
Likewise. We've been talking with Gil Quinones, the CEO of Commonwealth Edison in Chicago, who has certainly hit the ground running since arriving in the Windy City back in November, right, Gil?
Yes.
We thank you for listening, and we invite you, our listeners, to rate our podcast on your favorite podcast platform. For more information about the podcast or to subscribe, please visit us at smartgrid.gov/gridtalk. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Grid Talk, presented by the U.S. Department of Energy Office of Electricity Advanced Grid Research Division. Subscribe through your favorite podcast provider or visit smartgrid.gov for more information.